السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: سمنوا ضحاياكم فإنها على الصراط مطاياكم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, last week we were discussing Qurbani. I explained to you that we are not going to go into the detailed aspects of Qurbani, the masail of Qurbani, etc. But it is appropriate that one or two things should be mentioned about Qurbani, especially when we are in the days of Zulhijjah, and very soon, inshallah, will be the day of Qurbani. Many people have got a wrong impression that only if they have plenty of wealth, then Qurbani becomes wajib. Whereas, if a person has over and above his needs, over and above his genuine needs, if he has surplus goods, household goods, to the value of nisab, which is plus minus 500 rands, then the sacrificing of an animal becomes wajib upon him. I went to visit one person who was sick, so I went for his iyadat. And this person earns just about sufficient to pay his rent, light, water, and purchase his household necessities. So he asked this question. He said that, Maulana, is Qurbani wajib on me? I earn so much and this is my expenditure. So it is basically that I'm left with nothing after I have paid for the rent and light, water and other necessities. I said, but what about this TV which is in your home with a whole stack of tapes? There was a TV right in front there with a whole stack of videotapes. Now that runs into 2,000-3,000. So either sell that TV, sell those tapes and buy one animal, or get one share in a cow or in an ox. But Qurbani is wajib on you, although your earning is just sufficient for your needs. So this is a misunderstanding that many have. They have videos, they have hi-fis, but they say Qurbani is not wajib. But that is the issue of the masail of the Qurbani, which I am not going to go into. What I want to bring to your attention is that about a year or two ago, in Pakistan, in one of the English newspapers, almost every day there was some article. I was there at that time, and almost every day there was some article in which there was a condemnation of Qurbani. And it was not written by some Jew or some Christian or some enemy of Islam. It was being written by a person who had a Muslim name. And in there he was declaring this Qurbani to be a customary practice. And he said that just as other customary practices have crept into the Muslim community, in the same way, this customary practice of Qurbani has also crept into the Muslim community. And it must be eradicated, eliminated, it must be done away with. And he gave another example of the Taraweeh Salat. He said that is also a customary practice. And then he was talking about the wastage of the money of the Muslim Ummah on Qurbani animals. He said that plus minus 2-3 million people make Qurbani in Hajj. And that amount of animals which are sacrificed there, or the amount of animals which are sacrificed there, who is going to really benefit from the meat and the flesh of those animals? So instead of that, there should be a campaign. There should be an educational campaign, educating the masses that gather there, that instead of making qurbani of animals, which most of the times is not even used and not consumed, you rather take that money, collect it, and then use it for better purposes, for the needy, for the poor, for the destitute. So this is what he was trying to promote. Of course, there were other articles in which it was, where the whole issue of qurbani was discussed and a rebuttal was given. But the fact is that this is an idea which is creeping into the minds of many so-called intellectuals, that this is a wastage of money when there is so much of need in the Muslim community and other communities, for the poor, for the destitute, for the orphans, of food, of clothing, of shelter. So the qurbani money should be collected and given to them instead of sacrificing animals. So just to bring to your attention that this qurbani, it is not the sacrifice of an animal. I mentioned last week that it is not the sacrifice of an animal. Because if it was just the sacrifice of an animal, then there would not have been so much of masail with regards to that animal. I mentioned this last year also, that if you have to look at the qurbani animal, then there are so much of masail, that if the whole purpose of this qurbani was just to sacrifice an animal and distribute the flesh, to distribute the meat, then there was no need for so much of masail. If one third of the ear of the animal is cut off, then you cannot make qurbani of that animal. If that animal is blind, or one third of its sight is gone, then you cannot make qurbani of that animal. If the horn of that animal is broken from the root, you cannot make qurbani of that animal. Even if it is one day less than a year, it's a goat, and it's one day less than a year old, then the qurbani of that animal is not valid. If a person slaughtered 1,000 camels or 100,000 animals, but he slaughtered all those animals an hour before the Eid namaz, at a place where Eid namaz takes place, he slaughtered 100,000 animals, but he slaughtered them just 5 minutes before the Eid salat took place, then the qurbani of those 100,000 animals is not valid. Isn't this a very clear indication that it is not the flesh of those animals? If it had been the flesh of those animals, then what harm came into those animals? Still people will get the flesh of those animals. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told that sahabi who had slaughtered one goat before the Eid, he said that this is just for eating purposes, you've got some meat or some flesh of the animal. It is not qurbani. So it shows that qurbani is not the distribution of the meat of that animal, which we take to be sadaqah. If it had been sadaqah, then we would not have been able to eat. Now here, this is not charity that we are giving. All these laws which we find in the books of jurisprudence, all these regulations and all these masail, that if the animal has got this defect and that defect, the qurbani is not valid, it shows that it is not the distribution of the meat of that animal. It is that niyat with which you are making that sacrifice. And the taqwa here, some have given it to mean not just piety. It is to mean that the person completely submits himself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, just as that animal has submitted itself completely. It has given its body, it has given its life, it has given everything into the hands of this person who has got his knife. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us a lesson that this animal has submitted itself completely with its life and soul and body and everything. In the same way, you should be submitting yourself totally to my will. That is the qurbani, that is what Allah Ta'ala refers to as لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Neither does the flesh of the animal reach Allah Ta'ala, nor does the blood of the animal reach Allah Ta'ala. It is that niyat or that taqwa which is in you, which Allah Ta'ala wants to see. It is that which reaches Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That submission, that niyat with which you are making that qurbani, that I am submitting. If it had been an order that I must give my life, then that is what I would have done. If we have to look at the history of Islam, then we will find that people didn't only make sacrifice of animals. Wherever there was a need to give their lives for the sake of Allah, then they gave their lives for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This qurbani, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Sammenu dahayakum, fatten your animals of qurbani, because on the sirat, on the pul sirat, on the day of qiyamah, the pul sirat, the bridge which will be over Jahannam, he said, they will be your transport on that day. So you must fatten the animal, that means the animal must look good, it must look nice. It must not be just to get rid of one wajib that has fallen on your shoulders, that it has become wajib now, what must I do? I must get some, buy one share, buy one animal and get rid of it. It's not that. You must consider this to be your mode of transport over the sirat. So something, of course, is not going to be exactly the same animal that will be there in the same form. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows how He is going to convert that on the day of Qiyamah. But He says that over the sirat, this is going to be your mode of transport. So therefore, there must be a willingness, there must be a happiness, there must be a joy and a satisfaction that the person enjoys when he is making qurbani. And this niyat must always be there, that the qurbani of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was his son, who was the most beloved to him. And it was the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to even take the life of his son, although Allah ta'ala ransomed it and there was an animal in his place. But the original of qurbani, the origin of qurbani was that. So in the same way here, whatever is a substitute, it is the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the substitute we are getting the sawab of the original. The original was the taking of the life of one's beloved son, as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had done. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us that same reward and sawab which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would have got if the life of Hazrat Ismail was taken just upon the sacrificing of one animal, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam referred to as sunnat o abikum Ibrahim, is the sunnat of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was the sunnat of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. If you have to look at the books of jurisprudence, then whenever there is a substitute, you will get the same sawab and the same reward as that of the original. For example, a person, he is unable to make use of water for wuzu. He is sick. The doctor has said that if you are going to use water, it is going to worsen your illness or it is going to prolong your illness. So the person is unable to make use of wuzu for water. Make use of water for wuzu purposes. In the same way, the person now makes tayammum because he cannot make wuzu. With water, he can't make wuzu, so he's making tayammum. So all books of jurisprudence will tell you that this person will get exactly that same sawab and reward as that person will get who has made wuzu with water, because this person is now using the substitute. In the same way, the person who is using the moza, for example, and he is making masa on that moza, the leather socks, then he will get the same reward as the person who has washed his feet. In Hajj, if the person is bald, he has made umrah. Now the rule is that he must clip his hair or he must shave his hair. Now what is he going to shave if he's already bald? So what he must do is just take the jack razor and run it over his head, and he will get the same reward and sawab as the person who has shaved his hair. Because he is adopting the substitute, he is getting the same sawab as the original. So in the same way here, the qurbani is a substitute. This animal is a substitute. The original was the sacrificing of the son, as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was prepared to do. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, sunnat o abikum Ibrahim, and by means of that he informed us that inshallah ta'ala, your sacrificing of one animal with a willing and a happy heart, Allah ta'ala will give you that same reward that he gave to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at the ihsan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he therefore said, that before the blood of the animal even drops on the ground, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts the sacrifice. Now what left the body of that animal? If we have to look at that animal, after the qurbani has been done, then if a person is greedy and he keeps the whole animal for himself, just for argument's sake, if a person sacrificed 10 animals, and after that he kept all 10 for himself, he packed up his freezers and for the rest of the year he was eating from there, then too, from the masla point of view, his qurbani is accepted. His qurbani is valid. That is a different issue now, that he should have distributed part of that. He should have distributed to the poor, to the needy, to his friends, and kept some for himself. But as far as the qurbani is concerned, it is accepted. Now where did we see a sadaqah like that, that the person takes out 1,000 rand as sadaqah, and then after that he buys some groceries, some meat, and he eats it up himself? Will we call that sadaqah? But here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is informing us via Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that that person's qurbani is valid, to show very clearly that it is not the distribution of the meat which is qurbani. That is a benefit, it is a bonus. Whereas in reality Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should have told us, purchase the best animal and after that slaughter it, then bury it in the ground, and don't benefit from any part of that animal. Allah ta'ala could have ordered that, then we would have really felt a little bit of pinch on our hearts that the person has spent 1,000 rand and now the animal is going into the ground. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his ihsan, he said, you eat two from there, give your family members, give your friends, give anybody you wish to. So it shows that this qurbani is not the distribution of meat as a charity. The real qurbani is that niyat with which we are sacrificing that animal, and our total submission before the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We must remember that in everything there is a certain kind of ruh and soul, and there is no life, or the body cannot live without a soul. The moment the body, the soul leaves the body, then that body is dead. In everything there has to be a soul. In the same way, just as there has to be a soul in all the different animals, in the human beings, in the creatures, in the same way there is a soul in all the ibadats also. There is a ruh and a soul in even the ibadat. The namaz has got a certain kind of ruh. The roza has got a certain kind of ruh and soul. The zakat has got a different kind of soul and ruh. In the same way, the hajj has got a different kind of soul or ruh or noor, whatever you can call it. There is a different kind of noor and a different kind of soul in each kind of ibadat that Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory, or whatever has become wajib, or whatever we do in the form of ibadat. Now, just as we have sight, if a person has to take out his eyes, then the soul of the eye has also got a kind of soul. If there was no soul connection with the eye would have been dead. So if somebody has to remove his eyes, then we haven't heard of a person then looking with his ears. Because he removed his eyes, now he can see with his ears. In the same way, if a person has to cut off his tongue, then his ear does not start speaking, or his nose does not start speaking. So the soul which is with the eye, the connection of the soul which is with the nose, the connection of the soul which is with the tongue, each connection is necessary in its place. It is required there. It retains and maintains that balance. In the same way, if a person makes only namaz but does not keep fast, does not give zakat, does not go for hajj, does not give charities, does not fulfill the rights of others, then we will say that he's got the soul of namaz, but there is deficiency in all the other souls. So there will be a weakness in him. So this qurbani, it has also got a noor of its own. We always talk of a balanced diet, that in the diet there must be proteins, there must be carbohydrates, there must be fats, and then we say there must be vitamins, and they've started from A, B, C, and now they've gone to X, Y, Z. We do not know how many more they will discover. They've run out of alphabets as far as vitamins are concerned. But we say that all these things are essential to maintain that balance in the body. That is what we term as a healthy diet. In the same way, in the body of a Muslim, the spiritual body of a Muslim, there is a soul that is required. There is a diet that is required. And the healthy diet will mean that whatever Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has made obligatory upon the person, and whatever they have prescribed as ibadat, then we have all those things in our life, not just some aspect of it. So if the person has got everything, but in spite of his richness and in spite of him being a person on whom qurbani is wajib, but he takes that money and gives it away to the poor and the needy, then there will be a deficiency in that spiritual body of this person, irrespective of how much he gave away to the poor and needy. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, there were many rich people and there were many poor people. And some of the poor, they were so poor that they had to live on dates. But yet, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam did not tell the others that this year take all the money and give it away to the poor people and don't make any qurbani. He made qurbani himself, and not only one, he made 100 camel qurbani when he made Hajjatul Wida. 63 he slaughtered with his own hands, and the rest of them Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu slaughtered, to show that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not poor. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not poor by force. That means he was poor, what could he have done? When he wished to, look at that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him so much that he could slaughter 100 camels. Which one of us has got that himmat to go and slaughter 100 camels? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was poor by choice. He chose poverty for himself. But for the ummat, weak ones like us, he left the sharia for us, which is beautiful, in which there is laxity, in which there is scope for everyone, which accommodates the kings and the rulers and the beggars and the ordinary person and the rich person and the wealthy person, everyone, they can follow in the line of sharia. Otherwise, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had intended that for his entire ummat, then the maslas of zakat should not have been mentioned. There would have been no mention of zakat in any hadith sharif or in the Quranic verses. There should have been no mention of inheritance, the laws of inheritance which runs into whole volumes in so many books. From where are they deduced? From the Quran and from the hadiths. So there would have been no masail of inheritance. There would have been just one simple statement that it is not permissible for a Muslim to keep anything more than for that day. So it shows that for us it is the sharia. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the issue was, or the point was this, that he did not tell the sahabas that this year don't do qurbani. So the qurbani is really the spirit that is within one's heart. It is that taqwa which is within one's heart. So we should purchase an animal, and this business of just giving away one share somewhere here and there, if a person is living in a flat or is sick, is old, is ailing, he does not have anybody to really assist and help him, then we will say that it is permissible if he gave it away somewhere, or some part of it he gave somewhere else. But at least we should try to implement or do one qurbani at least at home, so that our children will grow up knowing that there is such a thing as qurbani. Otherwise, over a period of time when they are not going to see any qurbani being done in one's own backyard, then this ahmiyat, this importance and this azmat and respect for the qurbani will also leave the hearts. There are so many other things that we could have spoken, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal, and may Allah ta'ala strengthen our hearts with His love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we do not question the wisdom behind the teachings of sharia. If it comes into our understanding, well and good. If not, then if the Quran and the hadith tells us that this is what you have to do, then first we accept it. We say amanna wa saddaqna. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the problems and the hardships that the Muslim ummah is suffering all over the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.